The reading that I'd like to share with y'all this morning actually comes from a TED Talk by Catherine Schultz. It's called On Being Wrong. Most of us do everything we can to avoid thinking about being wrong, or at least to avoid thinking about the possibility that we ourselves are wrong. We get it in the abstract. We all know everybody in this room makes mistakes from time to time. The human species in general is fallible. Okay. But when it comes down to me right now, to all of the beliefs I hold, here in the present tense, suddenly all of this abstract appreciation of fallibility goes out the window. And I can't actually think of anything I'm wrong about. And the thing is, the present tense is where we live. We go to meetings in the present tense. We go on family vacations in the present tense. We go to the polls and we vote in the present tense. So effectively, we all kind of wind up traveling through life, trapped in this little bubble of feeling very right about everything. I think this is a problem, she writes. I think it's a problem for each of us as individuals in our personal and professional lives, and I think it's a problem for all of us collectively as a culture. So why do we get stuck in this feeling of being right? One reason actually has to do with a feeling of being wrong. So let me ask you something. How does it feel emotionally to be wrong? Go ahead and shout it out. Sad, stupid, ashamed, vulnerable, dreadful, embarrassing. Okay, those are all good answers. But actually, they're answers to a different question. You all are answering the question, how does it feel to realize you're wrong? Realizing you're wrong can feel like all of that and a lot of other things, right? I mean, it can be devastating or revelatory. It can even be really funny. But just being wrong doesn't feel like anything. I'll give you an analogy. Do you remember that Looney Tunes cartoon where there's this pathetic coyote who's always chasing and never catching up to the roadrunner?
Yeah.
Yeah. In pretty much every episode of this cartoon, there's a moment where the coyote is chasing the roadrunner, and the roadrunner runs off a cliff, which is fine. He's a bird. He can fly. But the thing is, the coyote runs right off the cliff right after him, and he's totally fine, too, and he keeps running right up until the moment that he looks down and realizes he's in midair with nothing beneath him. And that is when he plunges to the ground. When we're wrong about something, not when we realize it, but before that, we're like that coyote after he's gone off the cliff and before he goes down. You know, we're already wrong. We're already in trouble, but we feel like we're on solid ground. So I should actually correct something I said a moment ago, she writes. It does feel like something to be wrong. It feels like being right. The time I most vividly remember being wrong or realizing I was wrong was way back when I was in junior high school. I was raised a Unitarian Universalist as part of a congregation that included people from various different religious backgrounds. And so I can remember celebrating major holidays of many different traditions. But in particular, I remember the ways my local congregation observed the Christian and the Jewish holidays. Now, my Sunday school classes had done a really good job teaching me about Judaism and Christianity. And mostly I remember being taught that Christianity had grown out of the Jewish tradition. I remember learning that Christian communion first began as a Jewish Seder meal during Passover, and that Jewish ideas and attitudes had shaped Jesus of Nazareth. And so when a Methodist friend of mine from junior high invited me to go with her one Sunday morning to her church in December, I figured they would probably begin their service in much the same way that my church did. Now, I knew that they wouldn't have a flaming chalice. That was just for us Unitarian Universalists. But I was really surprised not to see a menorah on the communion table next to the cross. And I was shocked when my friend had no idea why I was upset. But why on earth don't you celebrate Hanukkah in a Christian church? Jesus was Jewish. It's a good question, isn't it? I think the illustration of the coyote cartoon in this morning's reading is a great way to describe the feeling of realizing we're wrong. My whole life up to that point, I thought I knew what it meant to be Christian, what Christian churches must be like. I didn't know that for most Christian communities, my impressions were hardly the case. I had known a lot of facts about Christian and Jewish theology and holidays, but I had had no real exposure to the attitudes that many Jews and Christians had about one another. I didn't know what I didn't know, and so I was a lot like that coyote running out over the edge of the cliff. It never even occurred to me that I could be wrong about this until I was faced with the truth. And just as Catherine Schultz writes, it wasn't that I was right up until I realized I was wrong. I had been wrong the whole time, even though I had felt right. I'd gone through my entire life with this one particular wrong idea, and when that idea was challenged, I resisted it at first. When that idea was challenged, I felt what the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King used to call creative tension. Creative tension. Having any belief or attitude challenged can create emotional tension inside of us, right? Our beliefs are like King Regis's tower to the moon. None of us likes to think about what might happen if a foundational belief crumbles and topples over all of the beliefs that we've laid on top of it. And it's exactly this kind of creative tension that Dr. King felt gave power to the kind of work that he did to change hearts and minds about the worth and dignity of all people. The crux of the nonviolent civil rights movement he led hinged upon the power to create tension in the minds and hearts of people who supported institutionalized racism in the form of Jim Crow laws by willingly risking tear gas, imprisonment, and worse to resist that racism. Now, every time Black History Month rolls around, I find myself moved again and again by the incredible struggle that Dr. King and other civil rights leaders faced. And nearly every time I turn on the television or tune into NPR, I'm amazed by the stories of sacrifice that millions of people around the world make for peace and equity. But the thing that really haunts me, the thing about every single movement to bring about justice, is that the people on the other side, the people working to thwart what I understand to be justice, those people think they are right just as strongly as I do. While Dr. King and millions of others were working for equal rights and protections under the law for all people, there were millions of other Americans who thought with just as much fervor that segregation was right. And this always makes me wonder if I have any attitudes or prejudices or beliefs that are holding back the tide of justice. Do you ever feel that way? I don't know what I don't know, and I very well may be running out over that cliff of wrongness on any number of things, and I might never even know about it. Now, I'm sure that all of us, like Dr. King, have certain values that we affirm about the worth and dignity of all people, and that we feel very strongly about these values. These beliefs about the potential goodness inside every person form the foundation of our liberal faith, and they've inspired generations of our Unitarian Universalist ancestors to do the work of justice in their own times and places. And I am certainly not suggesting in this sermon that we become ideological doormats and change our minds every time somebody challenges a belief that we hold. But I do think that letting go of the need to be right means cultivating a sense of curiosity about the beliefs of others. I think it means we grow into a mature sense of self, and that because of that, we aren't intimidated by the different beliefs of other people. It means instead that we are curious, willing to lean into the tension of disagreement for the sake of what we might learn about that other person and what we might learn about ourselves. I think it means we take to heart the assurance that our faith doesn't require us to be right all the time, but only to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God, who I believe God's other name is love. For as people of this liberal religious tradition, our shared faith is in exactly this kind of creative tension. We ought to assume when we walk through the doors of any Unitarian Universalist church, not only that we are free to believe what we do, but that the person sitting to the right and to the left, to the front and to the back of us, will likely not agree with us on everything. And rather than being a source of weakness or division for us, these differences are in fact the locus of our strength as a religious community. For if we can cultivate among one another the shared sense that tension can be transformative, tension can help us grow as individuals and as a church, and difference of opinion is transformed from simply uncomfortable to transformational. The faith we share is not least common denominator faith. I'm going to say that again. The faith we share is not least common denominator faith. Can I get an amen if you agree with me on that? Thank you. The purpose here is not to avoid mentioning concepts or words or ideas that some people might not agree with. Rather, we work to create safe spaces for all of us in our varied beliefs to be open and expressive. We encourage one another not necessarily to change our minds every time we meet someone who feels differently than we do, but to be willing to lean into that tension in love. A person we have covenanted to care for and nurture as a fellow sibling in the human family, if that person holds an opposite opinion from ours on something very important, we still have that love at the base of our relationship. And this, I believe, is the commitment that we make as Unitarian Universalists. And because we as liberal religious people have this practice in leaning into this sort of tension, because we value growing in this kind of spiritual and emotional confidence and maturity, we are well positioned to invite others beyond our walls into this kind of transformational discourse and relationship. Many of our local Unitarian Universalist congregations may never find themselves positioned to impact issues on the national stage like the Reverend Dr. King did, but we are definitely positioned to help bring about the conditions for creative tension in our local communities. Together as communities of people growing in emotional and spiritual maturity, becoming skilled at leaning into tension with one another, we have within us the seed of great power to help our communities question the status quo wherever the needs of the many are ignored in order to privilege a few. And so, good people of the Williamsburg Unitarian Universalists. My prayer for you and your congregation this morning is not that you will be right about everything, but that you will keep the faith, that you will keep the faith in a goodness that forms all that is, that you will keep the faith in a love beyond belief, and that you will keep the faith through the creative tensions that will arise if you are doing church well. That you will do justice, and that you will love mercy, and that you will walk humbly with love in your hearts. For with faith in love, the Spirit can work in our hands and in our minds and in our hearts to topple all manner of oppression's towers and to heal this beautiful and hurting world we love and we share. Amen.